Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our evening worship service here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're glad to see each of you back tonight with us. At this time, we're going to go ahead and take our light blue hymnals. Turn with me to hymn number 419, and let's stand together. Number 419, Sound the Battle Cry. Standing together as we sing number 419.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, stand.
Legaia plays, get around and shake hands with one another. Folks, verse number 3.
O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, we rear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
Good singing. Ray, you come up, lead us in prayer. And then number 405, the banner of the cross.
Lord, thanks for allowing us to be here tonight. God, I pray that you would just watch over us, bless the message we're about to hear, Lord. Keep us safe going home tonight, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's be seated. We'll turn to hymn number 405, Banner of the Cross.
As an ensign fair we lift it up today.
I'm glad Brother Nachi is preaching tonight. I do have this note here. I'm going to reread it again tonight because a couple of you were not here this morning. So it's to Lighthouse Independent Baptist Church, LIBC. Dear ones of LIBC, Pastor and I want to thank you for the generous gift given to him for Appreciation Sunday. It was so thoughtful of you. We feel so loved here and count it a privilege to serve our Lord here. May God continue to bless each one as we continue on serving the Lord together here on Broad Street. We love you all, Pastor and Nancy. Okay, Tuesday, two things. Number one, street corner witnessing from 4 to 6 at Broad and Oregon. And we've been having fun with that. And if we do it all year and only reach two people, that's two people that have been reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're doing it whether we get tired of it or not. Election Day is Tuesday, November 6th. Please be sure to vote. I preached a message on that this morning. If you want to hear it, Robert will have it up on the website tomorrow. Either that or Robert, if somebody asks you for a disc of it tonight, can you make one?
All requests at the Intercommissions Conference, they'll all be done for next Sunday.
Okay, all the requests will be. And one thing about the Missions Conference video, because it is such a large file, will have to be on DVDs, not on CDs. So you'll have to either play them in your computer or on a DVD player. The CDs will not take a file of that size. So Robert tells me that that's how they're going to be done. So it's going to take a little bit longer to do those. The one I'm asking about, Robert, is...
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought maybe you'd do it tonight so that somebody that want to have it between now and Tuesday might want it.
Yeah, they'll give a few minutes.
If they can wait a few minutes, he'll do it. Sacrifice Sunday, offering to honor our Lord on Sunday, November 18th. And all we ask is that you begin to pray about what the Lord would have you to do for Sacrifice Sunday. We have a goal of $5,000. It would be nice if we reached that goal. It's not my place to tell you how much to give or how little to give. That's between you and the Lord. So all we ask is that you pray as to what you can sacrifice for the Lord. Thanksgiving canned food drive, and we have that every year. Bring canned foods to donate and drop off the donations here at the church to Alice anytime between now and Monday, November 19th. And then Tuesday, November 20th, that evening at 7 o'clock, we will be having our annual Thanksgiving service. And so join us as we thank the Lord for his blessings And somebody along that line, somebody suggested, you know, Thanksgiving. Who does a person that doesn't know the Lord have to thank? They can be thankful, but to whom are they thankful for what God has, what has been for their blessings? Just something to consider. Eva Taylor Missionary Society, the next Eva Taylor meeting, Saturday, November 17th. Next community outreach, Saturday, November 24th. And so just be ready for that. We have several prayer requests. Sister Paul is here tonight. Her father is in Jefferson Hospital. Marie D'Angelo was in the hospital for a brief period this week. I got a phone call from Alonzo. His daughter-in-law is in the hospital. Edie DeSimone, Brian informed me today that they had a meeting Thursday night, and they've told her that it could be between 1 and 7 months, and the meeting was dealing with end-of-life issues. So that and many others that need to be prayed for, those that have taken quite a hit through the storm last week. Many of us are blessed that we didn't take that hit, but boy, there are a lot of people that took a tremendous hit. So let's just take a moment and together look to the Lord in prayer. All right, let's just look to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we just come before you tonight, Lord, thanking you for your blessings. And Lord, many of us have reason to be thankful tonight. There was a major storm this past week. And for ourselves, we suffered next to nothing. But Lord, there are many who suffered major, big time losses, major, big time agony. Lord, we do pray for those that have lost not only material goods, but also for those that lost friends and relatives in that storm. Lord, as grateful as we are, we realize that there are those who did not come through unscathed like we did. And Lord, we do want to remember Sister Paula's father in the hospital at Jefferson. We want to remember Alonzo's daughter-in-law in the hospital. We want to remember Edie DeSimone, Lord, who's been given between 1 and 7 months to live. The cancer has gone so far. Lord, the one blessing is knowing that she did make a commitment to you. She asked you to come into her heart and into her life. And Lord, as the last visit that I had with her, she told me that she had complete peace about the situation. And Lord, we know that that peace can only come from a relationship with you. Lord, we thank you again for the good crowd we had this morning, Lord. We do want to remember Joan Catamusto, who is been very sick, Lord, and as she went to the doctors, we haven't heard any diagnosis yet. We pray that she will recover soon. And Lord, we missed Veronica this morning. We missed Marilyn and Isa, Lord, and that I understand that they are in Puerto Rico because Marilyn's father just passed away, and our thoughts and prayers go with Marilyn and Isa as they're in Puerto Rico for the services and whatever else to be with their family. Lord, we thank you for just being a part of this fellowship. We give you the praise for our salvation under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Brother, if you'll come.
Let's turn to hymn number 381, Fight the Good Fight. Number 381, Fight the Good Fight. Gentlemen will come at this time. We'll take the evening offering. Ernie Brunson, if you'll ask the blessing on the offering, please.
Sure. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once again to allow us to return to church. Father, we just want to pray for all those that have tragedy from the hurricane. Father, we just want to pray for their family and discomfort them. Father, we just want to say thank you for each and everyone that are here tonight, and let us have a safe return home tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Message. Let's all turn to hymn number 413. 413 in the light blue hymn books. You guys can stay seated for this one as we sing Stand Up for Jesus. No, I'm kidding. Everybody stand up. Come on. Stand Up for Jesus. 413.
may be seated. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 6. What I'm about to bring out here tonight, but I struggled with what message to bring as I had several on my heart and on my mind. And for any of you that know me, much agonizing over what message I was bringing late Friday night of last week, the Lord finally laid on my heart and gave me peace about this message here tonight that I'm going to preach. And I believe it will be one of help, encouragement, and challenge for each of us here tonight as we study our text here in Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians is, of course, what is known by the at its core has the theme of doctrine, and it's major doctrine for us as Christians. The first half has in particular doctrinal focus, with the key concept being in Christ. That's what the first half of the book of Ephesians deals with, chapters 1 through about 3. The final three chapters are more practical, with the emphasis being upon our Christian walk, how we are supposed to live the Christian life. And furthermore, this epistle contains greater truth concerning the church than any other of Paul's epistles. Now, for our text and purpose here tonight, we will be dealing with the final chapter of Ephesians, chapter number 6, and verses 10 through 19. Now, chapter 6 is broken into two major sections. The first being the everyday life of us as believers in verses 1 through 9, and the warfare of the believer in verses 10 through 24. And that is what we want to look at here tonight. That's what we want to study here tonight, the spirit-filled warfare of the believer. And I believe that it is needful for us to look at such a thing because as Christians here tonight, we are in a battle. We are in a war. And folks, if we are not prepared and equipped well, we will see our light dimmed and our testimony ruined. And folks, the devil, that is exactly what he wants. He would love nothing more than for us as Christians to have our light dimmed and our testimony be of none effect in this world. So yes, as Christians, and this Christian life, it is warfare. We know that. We teach it. We hear it. But the true question we must ask is, do we believe it? Do we believe that we as Christians are in a warfare? And for most, I would dare say that no, that is not something that is believed. Why would I say that? Because somewhere in our Christian circles, we've gotten this idea in our mind that we're already in the sweet by and by, that somehow we're already in heaven. We've gotten that idea in our minds. We have preachers and teachers that are teaching once someone gets saved that it's all roses, that it's all pie in the sky, that it's all smooth sailing with a smooth path, that there'll be no spiritual battles, and you'll never have another bad day for all of your Christian life. Every day is going to be your best life now. That's not the case. That's simply not true here tonight. And folks, I'm sorry to burst that bubble. I hate to burst that bubble, but it's not true. We are not in the sweet by and by just yet. We are still in the nasty now. There will still be rough roads ahead. There will still be spiritual battles ahead. And even after the great salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided us, and folks, make no mistake about it, the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided us as Christians, it is a great salvation. It is great to be a Christian. But just because you get saved does not automatically erase all of the spiritual battles that we're going to face in this world. That's simply not true. There will be those spiritual battles. And from time to time, believe it or not, you still will have a bad day. Every day, and that is why it is important, that every day that you and I wake up to face this world, not only should we get ready physically, but we ought to be getting ready spiritually as well. And folks, this idea and this thought of getting ready spiritually each day, it's not an option. It's a must. Because let me tell you, and you can mark it down, and I can guarantee you, every day that you wake up as a Christian, the devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to get after you. The devil wants to destroy your life. The devil wants to destroy your Christian testimony. The devil wants to destroy your family. And if we're not careful, if we're not prepared, if we're not properly equipped to face him day to day, he will succeed in destroying our life. This Christian life that we live is a war with our flesh, this world, and Satan himself. The devil would love nothing more than to see you falter and fail. He would love nothing more. He would love nothing more than to see you give in to the temptation of sin and have that sin in turn ruin your life, your testimony for him, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan would love nothing more if you have kids, if you have grandkids, to get a hold of them while they're young and corrupt their life. That's why we must be prepared. Plain and simple, if you are seeking to live for God, if you are seeking to do God's will, the devil is seeking to destroy you here tonight. And if that is what you are seeking to do, if you are seeking to live for God, you are on the devil's hit list. You are on his most wanted list. He hates you and will seek to do everything that he can to throw you and get you off the path that God has placed you on. That's why we must be prepared to face the daily war that he engages us in. And folks, it breaks my heart to be able to stand here and tell you that I could recount to you story after story of Christians that I know that have fallen and faltered because at some time in their Christian life, they forgot that they were in a war. They forgot that they were battling in this life. They forgot and gave place to sin. They gave place to the devil. Story after story that we could recount. And that is why I believe this message here tonight is of vital importance for all of us here tonight, myself included, so that we can see just how important it is to our spiritual well-being that we properly prepare and equip ourselves for daily spirit-filled warfare. You found your place in Ephesians chapter 6. I'd invite you to go ahead and stand with me as we read our text here tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For ye wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night. And Father, we do thank you for the wonderful morning this morning. And Father, we just pray now that you would continue to bless tonight. And Father, we do pray that as we study this topic, this idea of being prepared for the battle that we face, that you will just help it to be a blessing and an encouragement and a challenge to your people. And Father, we just pray that everything that is said and done tonight will be to your honor and your glory alone. Father, we love you and thank you for all that you will do and will continue to do. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The very first thing that we see here tonight in verse number 10 is the warrior's power. The warrior's power. Verse number 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The very first thing that we see here is where we as believers receive our power from. And I find it very telling that this is the very first thing that the Apostle Paul started off with. And that's where we get our power from. And we don't get our power from ourselves. In and of ourselves, if we were to go up against the devil, we would fail. But we see here where our strength, where our power comes from, and that power comes from the Lord himself. It is in him that we are to be strong, not ourselves. You and I can't face it alone. You and I can't do it alone. We have to be strong in the Lord. See, folks, if we try to rely on our own strength and on our own might when facing this world and the devil and the things that he throws at us each and every day, we would falter, we would fail, and that would be the end of us. Because we can't go up against it alone. We need the Lord to be our strength. We need the Lord's infinite might and his never-ending strength. And if we have that, we will then be strong enough to endure whatever Satan throws our way. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." The very first thing we must do in preparing for battle, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Rely on him and him alone. Don't try and go at it alone. Because going at it alone, we are bound to faint, grow weary, falter, fall, and fail. Secondly, we see verse number 11, the warrior's armor. The warrior's armor. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." With strength for the battle comes the need for the spiritual armor, which only God himself can provide. The phrase here in verse number 11 where it says "the whole armor," that has the literal sense and literally means the whole armor. Put it all on, not just portions. It is clearly being implied that we are to put on the entire armor of God, not just portions here and there, but all of it. Listen, a soldier is protected by his armor if only he wears all of it. If you leave pieces off, that therefore then gives the enemy places in which they can attack you. And the same is true with the armor of God. If we leave things off in our Christian life, we give the devil place so then he can attack us if we don't have the whole armor of God. To go without a helmet, a chest protector, or some other vital piece that provides protection, that openly invites attack of the enemy against that vulnerable area. So therefore, it is a must that we put on the whole armor of God. We put it all on. And our purpose in putting on the whole armor of God is so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We must put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand against his trickery, his deceiviousness, and his method. Listen, folks, the image that this world paints of the devil having some horns, a pitchfork, and a long red tail is not what the devil is like. He is cunning. He is crafty. He will seek to trick you and trip you up at every turn. That is why the whole armor of God, not just portions, are needed. The whole armor of God. Thirdly, we see here tonight, verse number 12, the warrior's foes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle that every Christian faces is not necessarily physical, but spiritual. We face a spiritual battle. Notice what we face and struggle with. We struggle with principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, in other words, we struggle with Satan. That's what these descriptions are referring to, Satan and the power he has over this world. Principalities, that first thing that Paul mentions in verse number 12, can, among other things, refer to creatures such as angels or demons. It goes back to that thought of the devil being referred to as the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. Implied here also we see an order and a structure in Satan's empire. He being the ruler. In similar fashion, angels are referred to as princes in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. And going even further in that same passage, a reference is made to the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which clearly is a satanic spirit or demon. Now, I want you to follow this and keep up the best that you can. Turn with me. You're already in Ephesians. Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So here is the beginning of evidence of an order to Satan's empire with him as the ruler on this earth. Now, Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Keeping your finger in Ephesians 6. We'll be back. But Daniel, chapter number 10, and verse number 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. The very first thing that we notice is that it took the angel 21 days to reach Daniel. And why was that? Because we see that he was withstood, he was opposed by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. The angel described clearly he was a powerful angel sent from God to help Daniel. Now, the prince of Persia, on the other hand, most likely referred to a satanic lieutenant, someone that Satan had sent to prevent that angel from reaching Daniel. So that implies that this fallen angel who had opposed God's angel was sent by Satan, who had control over that kingdom, the kingdom of Persia. And here's where we have the illustration back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, where we read of spiritual wickedness in high places. Literally, wicked spirits in high places. Also, we see further evidence that Satan has a highly organized, disciplined empire, which Ephesians 6:12 refers to as principalities. And those principalities, agents of Satan, oppose Christians even today. And they are just more and more of the things that we face in our daily warfare. But not only do we fight against principalities, but notice secondly there in verse 12, we wrestle against powers. Against powers. Those who Satan has given authority in this world to come against us. But not only that, not only principalities and powers, but also the rulers of the darkness of this world. This has the sense of world rulers, those who are in leadership in our world today. And the final thing that we face and fight against is spiritual wickedness in high places. All in all, in this one simple verse here in Ephesians chapter 6, we find a very complex description of Satan's vast spiritual empire in just this one verse. It is clearly highly organized, and there is little question as to the impact that it has on us as Christians. So therefore, again, it is important and imperative that we are highly prepared, equipped with the whole armor of God. Fourthly, here tonight, we see the warrior's marching orders, verses 13 through 17. Look at that with me. Verses 13 through 17. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of all the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right off the bat, again, we see Paul's urging, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that we may be able to withstand, resist the attacks of the devil. Something else to note is Paul refers to the day he is talking about in verse number 13 as the evil day. The evil day. Is that not a description of the day that you and I live in today? An evil day. Put on the whole armor of God is the warrior's marching orders. Again, we see in verse number 14 the overall theme of this section, and that is to stand. That's the purpose of the hymns tonight, to stand. Stand against the devil. Stand against his wickedness. Stand against his onslaught, and stand for God. Paul then outlines how we're to stand, what the whole armor of God is, and we see that the first is truth. Verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The first aspect, the first element of the armor of God is likened to a belt, which keeps things in place. We wear a belt to keep things in place, and in this sense, it kept the uniform of the soldier snug and tight. And folks, that's what truth does. It keeps everything in its proper and right place. The second element there in verse number 14, we see is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate secures the vital organs. It protects the heart. And that's what the armor of God does. It protects our heart against Satan and sin that he wants to see us fall into. The righteousness of Christ that was imputed to us in our breastplate against the arrows of the divine wrath. The righteousness of Christ in us is our breastplate to fortify our heart against the attacks which Satan makes against us. The third element we see, verse number 15, and that is being prepared with the gospel. Verse number 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The thought here is being prepared to take the offensive, being able to witness and give the plan of salvation, to give the gospel. And just like a soldier, if he goes into the battle without his uniform, without his protection, he's unfit for that battle. And folks, if you and I, if we can't somehow, in some simple form of basic to the very lowest of basic communication, be able to share with someone how they can be saved, then we also are not fit for the battle. If you cannot be able to tell someone, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then we are not prepared for that. If you cannot tell them what the wages of that sin then is, which is death. If you cannot tell them what the gift of God is, and that is sending his son to die on the cross for those sins, then we are not prepared for the battle. Fourthly, we see in verse number 16, the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, folks, the devil is very skilled in shooting his arrows of despair, discouragement, doubt into our lives. That's why we need the shield of faith. To live by faith, trusting God against everything that the devil can throw against us, deflecting such attacks. Faith is all in all to us in our hour of temptation. We sing the hymn, faith is the victory. That is the fourth element we see here in verse number 16. Verse number 17, we see the fifth and final elements. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, this epistle, of course, is directed to believers. But what I believe we have here in verse number 17 is the assurance of salvation. Even as the head is the most important part of the body, and a helmet protects the head, it is our salvation and the assurance of it that is of crucial importance in our battle with Satan. Because I'm sure at least everyone here at one time or another has doubted their salvation. That's what the devil does. He wants to make you doubt your salvation, what you did when you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul concludes with the sixth portion of the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This book that we read daily is our weapon against all that Satan can possibly throw against us. And what a weapon it is. So you know what? You pick it up daily, you read it, you live it, you love it, and you rejoice in its promises. Because every word that is in this book, you can take to the bank. And finally, here tonight, we see in verses 18 and 19, the warrior's resource. 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Our final resource in our spirit-filled warfare we see tonight is twofold. The first is continual prayer. Continual prayer. Pray without ceasing. Not just for our needs, but in our praise our worship and our thankfulness for what God has done for us. Yet it goes even further than just prayer for our needs. It goes even further than just our prayer of thankfulness, praise, and worship. It goes on to exhort us to be found watching, sleepless, as a soldier on duty for fellow believers in intercessory prayer. We're to be praying for one another. Taught here we see is ongoing prayer, spiritual prayer, persevering prayer, and intercessory prayer. It provides the entire spiritual dynamic to stand, and having done all, to stand. Our second resource we see is, of course, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul asks for prayer that he may boldly proclaim the gospel to all. That should be our prayer and our desire, that we also may be able to boldly proclaim the gospel to all. You know what? Some of us are very bold when it comes to certain things. Brother Fred, when it comes to the Eagles, you're very bold. Some things that I like and enjoy, the Phillies, I'm very bold about them. We need to have that same boldness when it comes to sharing the gospel with everybody else. So yes, the Christian life is warfare. A struggle not only with common calamities such as Sandy and other natural disasters that we'll face until the Lord returns someday, and inner desires, temptations, so on and so forth, but with opposing forces of the powers of darkness which seek to destroy the testimony of the believer. It is therefore of high importance that as Christian soldiers, we be well armed with the spiritual weapons that God supplies. Folks, the sword of the Spirit, this book, and our access to the throne of God in prayer are weapons that not even Satan can touch. There are weapons that not even Satan can defeat. All we have to do is make sure that we are well prepared. So yes, Satan, he may be the ruler of this world, but if we are prepared, guess what? We have no reason to fear him. And you know why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has already defeated him at every turn. He's a defeated foe. We don't have to worry about him. But also we see the caution there in not to go it alone. We must rely on the Lord and the Lord alone. It is dangerous for us to be strong except in him who is the victor. Don't go it alone. Put your trust in God. Equip yourself for spirit-filled warfare by putting on the whole armor of God. After that one hymn tonight, Pastor leaned over to me and asked me where I got it. Take your hymn books. 381. Don't worry, we're not going to sing it. I just want you to see something here tonight. Look at these words. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength, and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life, and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its way before us lies. Christ is the path and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on thy guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust in thy trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life and Christ its love. Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not and thou art dear. Only believe and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. Lean on Christ to be prepared to face all that the devil can throw at us. And if we do that, we will be well prepared. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night. And Father, we thank you for this time of Bible study and singing. And Father, we just pray that this message will be of a help and an encouragement to your people so that we can find ourselves well prepared as we live our everyday lives, so that we can, without a doubt, be spiritually prepared. Father, just help us to live every day for you, that we may honor and glorify you in all that we think, say, and do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. 412, as Ray comes to lead, Onward, Christian Soldiers. Number 412, and then let's stand together, and then we'll close here tonight. Ray?
Let's all stand up as we sing this one. Onward, Christian Soldiers.
Jesus, going on.
Pastor, will you close in prayer, please?